Okay, now we begin Maseches Demai in earnest, Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph 1:1. This whole perek deals with leniencies that apply to Demai, since really midoraisa it's mutter to eat as is. The first Mishnah here discusses certain species of produce, fruits essentially, that are exempt from the Demai requirements of tithing, let's call it a second time. The reason for these leniencies, according to Reish Lakish, who's the Pshat I'm going to say here now, in the Yerushalmi, is that there's a sfeik sfeika, there's a double doubt if they're required to be tithed, and since it's a double doubt, we are totally lenient. The first doubt is, like I said before in the introduction, who knows if this food has been tithed properly? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. So if it has, then it wouldn't need tithing, and that's at least the first of the two sides of the sfeik. But maybe it hasn't. But even if it hasn't been tithed properly, there's a second possibility. Second possibility is that this particular produce is not suspected of needing to be tithed altogether. Why would that be? So according to the Bar Tanur, it's because these types of produce are really low-grade produce that is growing in the wild and not cultivated normally by farmers. And then these people who are selling them essentially picked them from the wild. And as we saw in Maseches Peah, food that grows in the wild is exempt from tithes. So if these are just basically wild produce, so then they'd be exempt from tithes and altogether. And therefore, there's a sfeik sfeika, double doubt. The first, who says it wasn't tithed properly, and even if it wasn't tithed properly, well, maybe they need to get tithed because it came from the wild. There's a second pshat, not the Bar Tanura's pshat, but Rashi's pshat and the Rush and others, that the reason why these particular species are lenient is, again, a double doubt. The first, as before, who said it wasn't tithed, and the second, not because they grow in the wild and therefore they're not worth much, and that's why they wouldn't need to be tithed, but rather that because they're worth so little, even if they were cultivated, the farmers who cultivated them wouldn't have an objection to tithe them properly because they're worth so little is not much of a loss. The Mishnah reads, I'm going to use translations based on the art scroll, Mishnayos, Yad Avraham, and I will rely on them. Hakalin Sheba Demai, the Mishnah reads, these following species are lenient with respect to the halachas of Demai. The first is Hashisen. Shisen are some kind of wild figs. Vaharimen, a lotus fruit. Vozradin. Vozradin are like sorb apples, crab apples, something like that. Uvenos Shuach, it's a different kind of fig, white figs. And Benos Shikma, sycamore figs. Novlos, these are dates that fell. Barton actually gives two pshatim here. The first is dates that didn't ripen properly while they're on the tree. Then they were like harvested early. And the second pshat is they were dates that fell from the tree from the wind. In any case, we had the word novlos, by the way, in Brachos for what it's worth, as one of the mine klala, if you recall. Yeah, Mishnah continues on. Hagufnin. Gufnin are grapes that ripen late in the season. These aren't grapes that are especially sweet, and that's why you save them till late, but rather grapes that really never ripen properly. And because of that, they don't taste very good and nobody really wants them, etc. And therefore, they are lenient when it comes to demai, like the other species. And finally, Hanitzpa. Nitzpa is the tzlaf, the caper. So, simple understanding here is these are actually capers, like you have on your locks or, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, capers grow everywhere, in case you haven't noticed. They're the green plant that's growing out of the kotel, and they grow wild and naturally, and therefore, like these other species, they're either inexpensive or not cultivated, they're hefker. Uvi Yehuda, in the land of Yehuda, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael was divided into the northern part, the Galilee, and the southern part, Judea. And we're talking out here in Judea. That was around the Beis HaMikdash area in Yerushalayim. We have Ha'og. Og, that's you translated also in the first parak of Peah, is sumac, sort of a red berry. And I told you that's the red that you'll see inside of za'atar, if you see red in za'atar. And apparently you can buy it, and people even eat it in their salads today, so I'm told. V'chomet shebi Yehuda, vinegar in Yehuda. Now, the backstory here is that the way one makes vinegar in the time of Chazal, is not with chemicals and not with apple cider. It's with red wine that is soured. So spoiled red wine is what is the source of vinegar. Now, there was a miracle that happened in the time of the Beis HaMikdash around Yehuda in the Judean region, around the Beis HaMikdash, since they needed their wine to give libations in Yerushalayim, the wine libations on the Mizbeach, on the altar. So a nace happened, and while the wine libations were going, the wine in Jerusalem there was spoiled. So therefore, the way they got their vinegar was not from fermented or spoiled wine, but rather from fermented temed. I'm unfamiliar with the English translation of the word temed. It means grape seeds that were left behind after the grape pressing that happened to make wine. So then those are essentially were abandoned garbage. But if you take those seeds and soak them in water, you can get a bit of, you know, grape flavor inside the water, and that can be fermented to make some kind of vinegar. So the idea here is that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the wine was created from hefker, abandoned garbage, grape seeds, and perhaps other pulp and stuff like that, from the, you know, skins, etc. And therefore it's hefker, and therefore exempt from Trumas Maestros, so purchasing such vinegar would not be required to be tithed, even as Demai. However, that only applies when the Beis HaMikdash was up and running and the libations were going. But after the fact, like B'zman HaZeh or whatever, after the Chorban, so then the vinegar of Yehuda was the same as vinegar in anywhere else in the country, that it needed to be tithed, the one to purchase it, as Demai. And finally, Va'kuzbar. It's actually a bit of a machlokus if Kuzbar is talking about specifically just in Yehuda or all Kuzbar. Kuzbar is coriander. That's the Zera God of the Pasuk, those white seeds or kind of like brown seeds. In modern Hebrew, Kuzbara is the name for coriander. Probably more familiar to those who live in Israel as being cilantro, because the cilantro is a plant and the seeds of the cilantro are the coriander seeds. If you don't know what coriander looks like or tastes like, if you've ever eaten biltong, which is a South African delicacy, like kind of South African version of beef jerky, so the main spice on the outside of the biltong is coriander seeds. So that coriander, again, is also like a wild seed, if you will, or hefker, and therefore it doesn't carry much value, and therefore can be assumed to not need tithing as demai, like all the rest in the list, because of that sveika, the double doubt, which is the shita of Reish Lakish. I will point out there's a second pshat on this Mishnah according to Rav Yochanan in the Rishalmi, but I'm not explaining that pshat because the Mefarshim Mishnah don't go with that approach.